Welcome to the Sportscast, July 17th, 2018. I cannot get over of the World Cup. We're doing a part three show of the World Cup recap, World Cup final, and the World Cup recap. And to join us to talk about it, World Cup expert, unbiased, Kevin Lara. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago. Thanks for having me again.
So, Kevin, the World Cup final happened a couple of days ago. It's probably the last time you watched soccer. What'd you think?
I actually watched the MLS right after. But, it was expected. You know, I knew ever since that match, France versus Belgium, I knew whoever won that match was going to win the World Cup. So.
And you were correct.
Yeah, I was rooting for Croatia, honestly. I was rooting for the underdog, but in my mind, I knew that, you know, there's no chance.
You know, like I met a lot of Latin Americans that were going for Croatia. Like, is there a link between Croatia and Latin America?
I think we were rooting for the underdog, and we were rooting for the small country, maybe, against, you know, the big power, France, the big machine.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, France was overwhelming for Croatia. I think they had a great match. You know, France scored 4 goals, Croatia did 2 goals. And let's go throughout the game, and then we'll talk about it goal by goal. At the first 30 minutes, Croatia went 30 minutes strong, going very offensive. And then in the 18th minute, Griezmann dove. That caused a free kick, and he scored a goal. By a own goal by Mandzukic. Now, do you think that was a dive or was that a foul?
Oh my goodness, that was completely a dive, and I know that caused a lot of controversy, you know, with the VAR system and whatnot. I personally think that if they're gonna use the VAR for penalties, they should also use it for free kicks, at least that are, you know, seemingly dangerous to a certain. You know, distance, because that, you know, it caused the goal, and they could have prevented it if they looked at the VAR.
I disagree. VAR should only be used in the penalty boxes, and there's only 4 types of reviews you could do in the penalty box. It was a handball, foul, and some other stuff. I think maybe offside, but I disagree. I think having VAR for any part of the field gets boring. I mean, not boring, but it will prolong the game. Don't you think?
Not any part of the field, but at least have it for a foul that's right outside of the box and that can also create a dangerous, you know, dangerous play.
I think not. I mean, I think soccer is a continual sport, and I think it, you know. But, you know, to be honest, I won't be surprised. With FIFA, they might change that rule, and they might, what, do it like 5 feet out, like out of the box.
So when you say that soccer is a continual sport, then you shouldn't like VAR even for penalties at all or for any other stuff that they're using it now.
I mean, I'm okay with penalties. Just leave it there. You know, the VAR thing takes, I think, less than a minute. I think it takes 30 seconds to be executed. So I mean, I prefer just leaving it like in the penalty box and just leave it alone, and for any type of call like that. Offside has been pretty accurate. I mean, there hasn't been no error. But back to
now
the goal.
What?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Back to the goal. So it was a free kick. Mandzukic had a own goal. Was it a error by Mandzukic, or it's just he was trying to, you know, clear the ball and just didn't do well?
Yeah, that sucked. I mean, I think that he was trying to clear the ball and he just didn't hit it well. You know, unfortunately, but he did score that second goal. So
the 20th minute, Ivan Perisic equalizes. A super strike from Perisic levels the World Cup final. France failed to clear the danger from the resulting free kick as Mandzukic. Then Vida knocked the ball towards the winger. He took time and space to pick his spot on his left foot. before drilling his effort past Jordi's, a special effort from Perisic. Game on. Were you nervous? Were you think this was going to be a game on? Was this going to be, okay, Croatia is still in this?
No. After that, like, probably the third goal, it was already done.
No. Let's go back to the 1-1. What's your thing about, like, when it hit 1-1? Do you think it was still – I mean, you still think France has got this?
Oh,
already?
Yeah. When it was still 1-1, yeah, I was still, you know, hoping that Croatia would get back up.
Okay. Then the 38th minute, Griezmann was going to pass the ball within the box, and then the ball hit Perisic in the arm. Perisic was not in a natural position as the ball struck his hand. And the referee had taken his time, went to VAR, and, you know, just to see if it was a handball or not. Do you think it was a handball?
Yeah, it was a handball. They consistently granted handballs like that during the whole tournament. So in order to be consistent, they had to grant that handball.
You must have listened to the past sportscast episodes, because that's my argument. That type of handball.
I did not listen to the past sportscast episode. I think I have my own opinion on that, which leads me to think about the VAR issue. Which, what if the referee had a watch, like a smart watch, that he can watch the VAR on his wrist instead of going all the way to the TV, and that will consume more time?
I think he needs to have a big TV to view it clearly. Watch is too small.
The big TVs are already in the main room. That's where they're watching that. That's what the VAR should be for. They are watching that in all with the big screens, and they should be the ones telling the referee, "Hey, we see this here, and we don't think that's a foul. He dove. Why don't you check that out on your watch, and then he can watch it and say, okay, yeah, that's clearly a dive or whatever."
I disagree. I think they should definitely have him watching the big screen. Like, maybe a ref might have bad eyes. Might not be nearsighted or not being farsighted. So I think he still needs to go see a big screen. And, you know, to be honest, he runs to the side, and I think, you know, it saves us. I mean, it could be quicker, but it is what it is. But we both agree it's a handball. It was a penalty. Griezmann converts. The forward holds his nerve from 12 yards as he slots his effort into the bottom corner with ease, sending Subasic the wrong way. Griezmann had a while to compose himself, and he had no issue finding the net, allowing his side to regain the lead. And then he celebrates with an L. I'm not sure in France that means loser, but perhaps.
I don't know. What's his girlfriend's name?
I don't know. He might be saying love or something.
There you go. You never know.
So it was halftime. It was 2-1. It was up. And then the 59th minute came in. Paul Pogba scores. Pogba had a World Cup moment as he hands France a two-goal cushion in the final. Mbappe breaks down the right flank, stretched the Croatia's defense. A low ball into the box was worked towards Pogba via a deflection. His effort was blocked by Vida, but it rebounded back towards the Manchester United midfielder. With his second dive on his left foot, he found the top corner. The French bench erupts. They're closing in now. They're ahead 3-1. What are your thoughts about that goal?
That was a great goal. I think Pogba deserved that goal, man. He did a good job. So,
which I thought it was his World Cup moment. I really thought, okay, he nailed it for France.
Yeah.
But I think Mbappe in the next goal, making it 4-1, probably, you know, people love that one more for some reason.
Yeah, he outshot. Yeah, he
shot it from like 25 yards out. And you know, he's the second teenager to score in a World Cup final after Pelé.
After Pelé. Mm-hmm.
So do you think he's the next Pelé?
We'll see. He's pretty good. He's definitely pretty good.
He's capable. Well, we'll just see how he he matures himself. Then the 69th minute, when it's 4-1, people thought this is over, but maybe not. Everyone was saying, what is Lloris doing? Mandzukic scores 4-2. The crazy theme of the game continues as Lloris attempts to play out from the back on his own goal line. He takes too long to pass the ball to Umtiti and allows Mandzukic to make the closing interception, steering the ball into the net. Lloris has given Croatia hope here. He'll be hopeful that does not cost his side.
Yeah, do you think he got too confident?
Way overconfident. I think he thought that, you know, typically a goalkeeper will pass the ball and you know, no one will probably get the ball. But Mandzukic was desperate. And I think, you know, the 69th minute, there was, you know, 21 minutes left in the game. So there was still a chance to tie it, but it wasn't so.
Right.
So yeah, France wins the World Cup. What are your thoughts? Well-deserved team?
Oh, definitely. The strongest team. They were one of the favorites from the beginning, so no surprise there, especially after the, you know, how the brackets ended up. Seemed pretty clear that France was a big contender. And, you know, EA Sports had it right.
EA Sports, third World Cup in a row. If you had to choose another team besides Croatia to go to the final, which team would have done better against France? It could be anyone. It could be Belgium, Brazil.
Belgium, Belgium, definitely.
Team Belgium, if they had like another chance.
Yeah, yeah. I regret that they didn't have that deserved Lunar. To be a final game, I think.
I would have said, man, I mean, I can't say Germany because Germany had a bad first group, so I can't say I can't put them in, like, right into the final and see how they do. Brazil.
What is it with all these teams that win the World Cup and then they can't make it past the first stage?
It's a bug.
On the next World Cup.
It's a curse. It's a bug. You call it whatever you want. A lot of these teams choose their players of the past that won it in the past glory, but 4 years is 4 years.
Yeah, man.
You'll get injuries. You get older. You lose a step. You run slower. You're less physical. And that's what Lowe did. He relied too much on some older players. And he left some young talent back home. So, which is what something that I really believe that coaches shouldn't go beyond. Beyond one cycle.
That's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
I guess it's hard if you're a coach and you win the World Cup with a team, it's kind of hard to choose to bring a different team, you know what I'm saying, next time around.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, I always, you know, think that if you bring like a new person in or maybe someone in, like maybe his assistant coach, he'll bring in some new players in, mix some veteran, but also some youth and speed. I really do think that, you know, to win the World Cup, you got to be young. You got to be, you know, teams should be, you know, most of it should be all in their 20s, maybe a few 30-year-olds with veteran experience, you know, sitting on the bench or playing in the field, which is what France had. You know, France was the second youngest team in the World Cup after Nigeria.
Wow. Nigeria,
I think the average age was like 23 years old. So they're built for 2022, pretty much.
Yeah, Nigeria had a good run too.
So what was your favorite game of the World Cup?
Wow. I want to say, man, that first game in the first stage, that Portugal-Spain. Wow, that was a great game.
Everyone said that game was like the best game. I say it's probably the best game. Second favorite game, I think, was England-Colombia.
England-Colombia. Yeah, second best game. Second best game for me. Wow, probably Belgium-Japan, man.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yep, that's up there.
Belgium-Japan, what a game.
My third favorite might have been Germany-Sweden.
Really?
Yeah. When Toni Kroos scored that last minute goal to win the match by a free kick. It was, I mean, that free kick, like, I mean, I was paralyzed. I was like, I thought Germany, you know, sure they could tie and still go on, but that was a win they really needed, to be honest. And like, the tie would have been good, but a win, you know, would have been better, which they got. And that was one of the most powerful, powerful matches. And Harry Kane.
What do you think about that game? Argentina. What's it? Argentina.
France.
Yes. Or was
Argentina,
that?
Nigeria.
Was that
Argentina?
Argentina lost, but they scored like in the last minute, and they got pretty close. I think it ended up like 4-3.
Yeah, it was Argentina France. Argentina was up 2-1 against France, and then
2-1,
and then France came back and won the match 4-3.
And then Argentina scored the last minute, that pass from Messi to Aguero. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, which made it 4-3, I think, right? Yeah,
which made it 4-3. Yes,
but it wasn't enough. I you know, it's interesting because that would have been the closest game for the closest game was Belgium, but that game was also pretty good. Uruguay, they had it easy, and Croatia. I mean, I thought it was, you know, with that final, it really came down to those two plays: the handball and the dive. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
That was pretty much the World Cup right there.
Yeah. The other two were fair and square goals. I mean, they were great goals. The one by Pogba and Mbappe.
Who do you think was the best player of the tournament?
Best player of the tournament. That's a good one. I thought this guy, this young kid from Belgium, did a great job.
Hazard?
De Bruyne.
Oh,
no.
Kevin De Bruyne.
De Bruyne, yes. De Bruyne.
He was good. I think, you know, I have to agree with FIFA. I mean, I would think Modric was the player of the tournament.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, he wasn't full of fashion,
go ahead.
He carried the team on his shoulders in a way. Not all the way, but he definitely helped them a lot to push him through.
Yeah, but you know, he, for me, Modric, I don't think he shines. Like, yeah, he had his moments with, like, you know, that goal against Argentina. That was a great goal. But other than that, I don't know. I barely see him in the field. I don't know. It may just be me. But Croatia made it to the final. I mean, let's be honest. They had an easier bracket.
Well, easier, but they definitely had to go to three extra times.
Right. They did, and they ended up in penalties.
Yeah. Twice. Once against Russia. Denmark was legitimate.
Which is the flip of a coin. I mean, penalties is the flip of a coin.
Pretty much. You got to win by luck. Well, maybe, you know, maybe some skill. You know, penalties is like poker. You know, sometimes you gotta win it. You have the use of luck to it. Harry Kane wins the Golden Boot. What are your thoughts?
He won for me the Golden Boo.
Why do you say that?
Come on, he has 6 goals, and 3 out of those are from penalties.
Yeah, I know. Penalties are considered goals. Not the penalty shootout, but penalty in the regulation. And
yeah, they're considered goals, but... You know, the guys like Lukaku, that they went through the sweat and the toil and the work to score those 4 goals square and fair. And this guy had it easy by 3 penalties, and he wins the Golden Boot.
The Golden Glove went to Courtois. Well deserved. Okay, well deserved.
Absolutely. Best goalie of the tournament. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
The FIFA Young Player Award went to Kylian Mbappe.
Oh, absolutely. Well deserved.
And the FIFA
that kid is
great. And the FIFA Fair Play Trophy went to Spain.
Oh. Didn't know that one.
I don't I didn't see it. I don't know what they did. I mean, but they won it. They won the trophy, so that goes in their trophy case.
Is that fair play? Is that does that mean that they were the team that got the least yellow cards?
That's correct. They won it with a superb disciplinary record. So they had a clean record.
So my guess is that they calculated that based on time played, because obviously they didn't make it past the first stage. They didn't have as many games as the rest.
I know you're a Spain fan, but you know they won it fair and square.
Well, they were in my top four when the tournament started. I thought they would do better. And again, Croatia and penalties, you know.
It
was Russia, I'm sorry.
Who was your top four before the tournament started?
I had Germany, obviously, and then I had Brazil. I had Belgium, and I had France.
Okay, not Spain. Spain was not in your top four.
No, I had Germany, Spain. You see, you made me confused.
Germany, Spain, I had Germany, Spain, Brazil, and Belgium, and France.
Let's make a top six, okay?
Well, they're easily top six for a lot of people.
Yeah.
My top four was Brazil, Germany. First Germany, then Brazil, then France was in my top four. And I think did I pick Spain? I might have picked Spain in my fourth. I have to check it out. But I think a lot of people were definitely screwed because of Germany not getting out of the group.
Yeah, and let me tell you what. After this World Cup, I will never choose the winner of the last World Cup as a favorite for the next one.
I was about to say that. I was just about to say that I would not. I am not going to pick France, not even in my top four. I was like, no, you're not. They're not going to win the next World Cup.
No, absolutely.
You know, like the past four, three teams in like the past tournaments have been eliminated in the group stage.
Yeah,
except
Italy,
Brazil,
Italy in 2006. You had Spain in 2010. You had Germany now. Oh, my goodness.
Do you think Colombia underachieved, or do you think they did, like, their best?
I think Colombia did their best, man. It's unfortunate that they lost against England by penalties. I mean,
they could have won. It was 50-50.
Yeah, it was 50-50. They could have won, and they could have made it to the – they could have made it all the way to the semis.
They could have, yeah. They would have been in Sweden, and they probably would have been stopped by Croatia. And I think without James, I think that was very difficult. I didn't know he was injured before the tournament started, and I think that really, if you're dependent on him, but he's not all there, he's like 50% or 80%, try to plan without him.
It's unfortunate because he made the best goal of the last World Cup. Remember against that Uruguay, that game, Uruguay-Colombia?
Yeah, that was one of the best goals of the tournament. But we'll see what happens. A lot of Croatians, a lot of other players are getting signed to bigger clubs after this World Cup. This is a good way to, if you're playing for a contract or for a better contract, the World Cup is the best stage to perform. And Kevin, what leagues? Definitely. You know, obviously the World Cup is will be in Qatar in 4 years and a half. What leagues will you be watching throughout these upcoming years?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I'm starting to watch a lot of MLS, and I'm gonna be honest. I'm Venezuelan, and the top scorer right now in the MLS is Joseph Martinez. Who's Venezuelan by birth. Wow. So, and he's playing for Atlanta United. They're first. They're like by a long shot. They're having a great season. And this kid is like top scorer by a long shot. They're winning like almost every game. They just tied against Seattle the other day. I watched that game. He scored one goal that game. So I'm watching that, and I'm obviously going to be watching the Spanish league, And I'm not a Premier League guy. I don't know. I know you are.
I am. I watch your boy Salomon Rondon play every weekend.
He's playing still for West Brom. Is that
West Brom? Yes. West Brom. He is. Though West Brom did get regulated to the second division, so he might be looking for another club, or he might stay. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh wow!
But he's definitely one of the best goal scorers of the league. I personally think it's the best league in Europe and maybe in the world. But then you got the Champions League, which I know you watch a little bit of.
Yeah, definitely the Champions League. I don't know. I'm not a big Premier League guy. I don't know why you think it's so good. I like a Spanish league better.
La Liga. Spanish.
Yeah, La Liga.
Well, the thing is, the Premiership is more competitive. I think, you know, 5-6 teams are competing for the top. And then if you go to the Spanish league, you're just seeing 2-3 teams competing to win the league. So that's why I like the Premiership is more competitive, rougher, fast pace, and it's
fast, and that's what I don't like. I don't like that style of football, the fast paced football. I'm more of a tiki taka guy.
well, the whole tiki taka. We'll see if it fades or it does not fade, but we'll see what happens. Any closing
tiki-taka,
words?
Tiki taka.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this: tiki taka is the future of soccer.
That's what they said back in the 80s. I mean, that's proven that you can win a World Cup with it. But we'll see. It has potential. But any final words about this World Cup? Your final thoughts?
I just enjoyed the whole thing. Waiting for the next one. Hopefully, country by birth, Venezuela, will make a better, have a better chance this time. We have a tough team, tough group to qualify for the World Cup. We have Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, Uruguay, Peru. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have better luck this time.
How's the squad looking for the next cycle? Is it going to be better? Is it going to be the same? Worse?
Well, I'll tell you this. Venezuela, many people don't know this, but they made it to the final. So they were runners up in the World Cup under 20.
Wow.
For the under 20 FIFA World Cup. They went to the final against England and they lost 1-0. So wow. They have a golden generation, and
that's a good sign.
They're all under 20.
If your national team does well in like the under 20, under 17 World Cups, that's a good sign for their senior squad. In the further years, like Mexico, you know, won the World Cups in the under 20, under 17, and you've seen that squad doing well these past 8 years. So it's a good sign. You know, South America is tough, but I know Venezuela has pulled out some big games against these bigger teams like Argentina, Ecuador, Colombia. So who knows? If Peru can do it, Venezuela can do it.
That's exactly right. That's what I say. And maybe USA can make it too.
Oh, USA's got this. They just gotta, do some little alignment, a little tinkering, and
That's what they said for this last World Cup, and look what happened.
Here's what happened. I think like the whole transition of Dempsey and also Landon Donovan, you know, like easing them out wasn't simple transition. You know, you're going through a new group of players, or some old and some new players mixing together. But I think we have a good squad coming up. We just get to have a good manager, and hopefully we just got to think, hey, guys, we don't want to miss another World Cup. It really hurts. It really pinches a little bit, but sometimes you need to fail before you succeed. So
I hope you're right.
Kevin Larry, how can people reach you?
You can reach me on Twitter at Kevin Lara, KVNLIARA.
And they could talk to you about sports and theology, right?
Talk to me about sports. I love soccer. I love sports. I love theology. I love economics, culture, anything.
And apologetics.
Yes, sir.
Kevin Lara, thanks for joining on to the Sportscast. You can reach us at Sleon, S-L-E-O-N. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, on Periscope. And you know, the World Cup, it's only 4 years away, 4 years and a half away. It'll be in Qatar. And you can watch, you can still watch soccer. People watch soccer every 4 years. No, you can watch it all year long. You watch the Premiership, La Liga, MLS, Champions League. Watch the, you know, watch the Champions League final. That's also a good time to watch soccer. But those are my closing remarks of the World Cup. This is the last episode, I think. Hopefully we could have Ryan, but I think this is the last one because it's Tuesday. It's I mean, the World Cup is already way behind us already. But Kevin Lara, thanks for joining the Sportscast.
Thank you for having me again, Sincero.